last 2 hours today is Cynthia A. Sandor. She is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her website is Cynthia A. Sandor and BDMHistory.com. She also has a Facebook page, Author Cynthia A. Sandor, and that is S-A-N-D-O-R. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing Cindy twice before. It's been a couple of years, maybe 3 years, but it's wonderful to have her back. Cindy, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for inviting me on your radio show today.
Oh, I just love talking with you before, and we've all been indoctrinated and brainwashed to think that the name of your book, Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. We've all been brainwashed and indoctrinated to think that Germany was the worst place in the world to live, that Hitler took all of these children and did, you know, just brainwashed them and turned them into a lot of bad people or you know, just... We just haven't heard any good things. So I'm so delighted that you wrote this book and then you've revised it. Just
Thank
revised
you.
It.
Yes.
Just came out. So
yes. Yes. Originally the book came out in 2012, and since then I was able to revise the book. And what's nice about it is this time I'm including some watermarks and the sayings that my mother had learned when she was in the Hitler Youth, plus the map of the big trip that she had taken when she was in the country service year program. And the nice thing about that is I had three people, since the release of this edition, email me and Facebook me and tell me that they took my book and they used the map and visited all the places that my mother wrote about in her journal. Can you
really?
Believe that? Yes,
that is,
yes.
That is amazing.
Yes, it is wonderful that they're taking the book and using it.
Well, when we talked before, and you told me the stories about your mother, told the listeners the stories about your mother, I mean, it was just really emotionally impactful for me, and you made me feel like I knew her, in the way that you wrote about her, in the things that you expressed about her, and just in the way that she raised you to be the kind of person that you are. I mean, German people are unique, I think. I really believe that. I think they're very unique, very giving, very loving, entrepreneurial, ethic. I mean, they're just ethical.
They're
honest. They have integrity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have very strong work ethics.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very strong. And that is probably one thing my mother instilled in me. I can think back when I was 5 years old, and she did it in a very playful way. And she said, "You want to come outside and play with me in the dirt?" And I said, "Okay." You know, what 5-year-old kid doesn't want to play in the dirt, right?
Right.
So we went outside, and she gave me a little spade and said, "Here, start playing with this in the dirt and moving all the dirt and pick out these little weeds and put them in a pile." Well, I didn't know I was helping her weed the garden. And so from that moment, I love being outside. I love gardening. I love my hydroponic garden and growing plants and just being outside with nature, camping, boating, and being one in the woods, climbing mountains, and I just love it. I love it. But it had developed from there, from her sayings that she learned when she was in the League of German Girls, and one saying that she's instilled in me was, "You can do anything you put your mind to doing," and she was absolutely right. Because
yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, and what's nice is You know, since the last time we spoke, I just finished writing the first edition. And from that moment to what all has transpired up until now is unbelievable. May I share that with you?
Oh, please, please.
Okay, wonderful. To date, I've sold over, and now this is really hard. When you're a writer and you write a book, everybody thinks, oh, it's so easy to write a book and publish it and get it out there and market it. Well, it's a tremendous amount of work marketing the book. And through my persistence and determination, I have sold over 3,000 copies of Through Innocent Eyes. Excuse me. And I've also published the book myself. So the first edition is with Balboa Press, which is Louise Hayes' self-publishing company for their self-published authors. But now I've learned how to format the book and re-edit it. And then I also had my editor edit the book. And I started sending out advanced reading copies. Well, wow. The Cologne Museum picked up on it in Germany, and they are featuring my mother's entire journal in its original format on their website, and they invited me to come over to Cologne, Germany.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Well, there's more. But that is so exciting in itself because we're working together to put together a very nice presentation for ORF Television and Der Spiegel, the magazine, the newspapers, Der Zeitung, to come out and do a nice promotional marketing event when I donate my mother's original journal to the museum. And I would like them to have the original journal because they will preserve the integrity of the book. Remember, it's about 74, 75 years old right now, her original journal.
Wow.
And so that's exciting. And then it has gone out, and a film producer has picked up on it, and Distant Star Pictures will be producing a movie on my book.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And isn't that wonderful?
You never dreamed of this happening.
When you wrote
your first book, it was just something that you wanted to do for your mother. And
yes. This
is just amazing.
Just to get her memory out there, you know. Now, let's kind of go back sometime. Let's go back in 1938. Now, my mother was born in Austria in a little town called Kleinzell, which is south of Vienna and St. Pölten. And it's a very, very small little village. I've been there many, many times. And when my mom was alive, we would fly to Europe, and she would take me around to the house and say, this is the house I was born in, this is the house where I grew up in. And we would hike up on the Rheinalpe, and she would immerse me in the time of her growing up in her village and share with me the stories of, you know, what the kids did and, you know, just the fun that they had. Now, I did not know that this time that when Austria was indoctrinated into Germany, when it was annexed into Germany, that she became a member of the League of German Girls or the Hitler Youth.
Right. And they decided to, Austria wanted to be part of Germany.
Absolutely. You know why? Because they saw what Adolf Hitler was doing to Germany, how he brought the country up out of a depression, a massive depression. And within 2 years, he was able to get over 22.5 million people back to work. That's incredible for a country to all come together as one and say, we want to build our country up. Now, Austria saw that, and over 93% of the country voted to annex into Germany.
Right.
They wanted it. They saw what was happening in Germany. They said, we want to be just like Germany. We want to be a strong country. We want work. We want to be prosperous. They are I can tell you personally from my own family who live in Austria and in Germany, they are very hard workers. And they have fun, too. They know how to have fun, and they know how to work. And they have very strong work ethics. And I got that from my mom growing up. Always.
Absolutely.
Always. I wish she was alive here today to see her story so well received. Because
you know,
I
think she's probably aware of it.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think she's aware of it. And, yeah, I'm sure she feels proud and humbled by it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because little things happen and it's like, okay, I know my mom's, you know, watching me. And it's nice to have that kind of spiritual connection somewhere that she's looking out over me. I was up in Conneaut, Ohio. It's one of the biggest D-Day events up there, and I was able to hook up with the European Military Historical Society, and Jeannie Anuska is the CEO of the Historical Society. And she also previously sponsored and promoted the D-Day Conneaut event. And she read my book four times. She loved the book. And she said she gained such a connection with my mother that she felt like they were best friends. So she was able to help me secure not only a television interview on live TV up there, a radio interview, plus I was able to give a presentation at the Conneaut Public Library. And she's instrumental in helping me promote the book also. And this is, it's just wonderful because the connection people are making between my mother and their personal backgrounds, like yourself.
Yes, I felt that connection. Mm-hmm, when I first read your book, I thought, yes, I felt connected. I really did. I felt like I knew her because you expressed, you revealed, you divulged, you expressed all of these things that she taught you. So I felt like I knew her. I felt like I know you because
thank you.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Well, there's a connection there, and it's interesting that you say that because so many people have told me that they do feel this connection with my mother and her upbringing and how she I see every chapter builds up on the next.
Yes.
So when you're reading chapter one, then it goes into chapter two. Progresses her time, and so you're reading it, and now she's a little girl. She's frolicking in the fields, and now she is becoming a girl in service for her country. So you can feel this this maturity of this 10-year-old girl who goes into the Young Girls League, not knowing anything, and then by the time she's 13, she has these basic common skills needed to become a productive member, not only in her household, but within her community. And
the thing that you've done, Cindy, is that people have all been indoctrinated in government schools here in America to think of the Germans as just a bunch of monsters. I mean, since World War I, when they were calling the Germans Huns and there were all kinds of movies that were produced in Hollywood showing that these people were just beasts and monsters and warmongers.
Yeah.
And what you have done is that you have, by your book, you have humanized every German.
Thank you. That's quite a compliment. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's always two sides to a story. There is so much written about Germany, the Hitler Youth, but what are the true stories? This is a true story of one girl and what she experienced and what she learned and how she grew up. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the skills that she learned was to have integrity, to work with her comrades, to be able to have the first aid skills that she needed. Okay, those were common things. By the time, they were 10 years old, they were learning this, sewing and stuff. It built their character. It made them stronger. And my mother took this with her when she even came to America, because when we were living up in Connecticut, she had a beautiful garden, and people would come over and admire her garden because she put so much effort into it. And they would ask her for, tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and whatnot. But that was just a little snippet of what was inside of her. Now, I wish she was here today so, she could talk about her time personally, but she's not. And that's why I wrote the book, because it talks about a very unique perspective of the girls and their time that they were growing up in the Third Reich. Even Paul Fischer, who's the president of the German Cultural Society out of Erie, Pennsylvania, had said that the details that are in my book dispel many of the possible misconceptions or skewed perspectives of the League of German Girls.
Exactly.
He loves the book. He loves the book. And so many people love reading the book because it opens up a whole new world what the children learned, the girls. Now I'm talking about the girls and
right.
My uncles. They were in the Hitler Youth, so my uncle Franz would tell me what he learned, and he loved it. He just loved being in the Hitler Youth. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they learned things that were practical. You mentioned first aid and sewing and all these kinds of things. And when I look at, I hate to make the comparison, but there are children in our government schools here in this country mm-hmm. who literally can't even read by the time they,
yes.
some of them can't even read. They have no
yes.
practical skills.
Right.
They don't offer any kind of the skills that were offered to your mother. And
right.
you kind of wonder how these people will function because they just don't know these practical things that everybody mm-hmm. should know.
They can't. I really go into detail. My background is in human development, and my degree is in business administration, but my background, I studied psychology and cultural anthropology and human development. And the things that the kids aren't learning today, the practical skills to make them into productive members, adults, okay?
Right, right.
I've seen this so many times over and over, and I see it on television, and I see it on, YouTube or whatever. And one particular show where these kids get on, they're 20 years old, and they're in court, and they're trying to defend their case, but they don't have the verbiage and the creative thinking. They can't come out and express themselves in a way that they can make their point clear.
Exactly. We do have a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? a huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All you people that like to procrastinate, the people that like to go ahead on Black Friday the night before and they camp out waiting for that great deal. Well, hello, newsflash, the deal for Zipa is now. The deal for Zipa is today. We do not reward procrastination. If you want a great price on a Zipa, go to Zipa.com and buy now. If you're going to go ahead and procrastinate, we're going to penalize you for it. What does that mean? That means the price of all the Zipas go up on Black Friday. And you know what happens on Cyber Monday? It goes up again. This is the last opportunity that you will have to get this great price for the Zipa. This is the time now. You wait till Black Friday, the price is going up. Because remember, sleep is priceless. Go to Zipa.com, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, and get the deal now.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Deanna, and our guest the last 2 hours of today's program is Cynthia A. Sandor. She is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her website is cynthiaasandor.com. That's S-A-N-D-O-R. And bdmhistory.com. And she also has a Facebook page, author Cynthia A. Sandor. And tell us a little bit about the BDM history. And you're also running a special on your book, which they can find at the bottom of your website, CynthiaASandor.com. But tell us about
Thank
the BDM history.
That. Well, actually, when the girls started, when they went into the Young Girls League first. They were 10 years old, and during their time in the service, they had to prove themselves, both in their character as well as their physical abilities. During the first 6 months after being admitted into the league, they had to prove that they wanted to become real German girls, and they would follow their appointed leader of the group, and that they would fit into the community and work together with their troop. Now, the leaders always encouraged the children to learn. Now, let's kind of step back, 75 years ago and the atmosphere and the environment of that time. There was no YouTube, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was nothing. The leaders would take the girls out, for instance, and they would teach them outside. The classes were held outside. They would take them up to the mountain. For instance, my mother, they had a hiking trip up on the mountain in their little village there, and they were taught all about nature, and they were taught about their communities. But overall, the girls had to prove themselves in their character, so that they were instilled with a willingness to do the tasks that were set before them. For instance, there was a young girls challenge, which was very simple, and it was they had to perform a running test, which was they had to run 60 meters in 14 seconds, do a long jump of 2 meters, and throw a heavy ball 12 meters. But this also tested their agility, where they had to do, like, forward rolls and backward rolls, jumping through a swinging rope, you know, jump rope. But this, the Reich's Ministry of Science Education and Culture knew that their sports activities and being outside learning was a part of their development. They weren't just sitting in a classroom looking at a blackboard learning things verbatim. They were actively involved, so this stimulated their thinking process and their creative thinking. Now, the leaders also told them right from the beginning what was expected of them. So when they were in the Jungmädelbund, which is the Young Girls League, the girls felt appreciated. That's what my mom told me. She felt like she had a sense of purpose, because now she was a part of something. She was a part of something that made her feel good about herself, because the adults took an interest in teaching the girls. So that was the Jungmädel.
Cindy, you brought up something I think is really, really important, is that they included a lot of activities. Now, the typical schoolroom in today's society, children are just, they're at their desk for the majority of the day.
Yes.
And that's just not what children need. Children need activity, because otherwise they get a little stir-crazy. They get bored. Sometimes they act out. And so rather than thinking, oh, we need to give these children more activity and get them out and involved and running and playing and engaged in outdoor activities, instead they're putting them on Ritalin or something else.
That's exactly. That's when I was researching this and learning about the upbringing of the girls and what they did, the educational curriculum was so far more intense as far as the teaching the girls as a group, but paying attention to them individually at the same time. The girls had to learn 10 new songs every month. For instance, they had to learn how to play the flute, okay? Or not all of them, but those that really wanted to. Or learn how to play an instrument. My mother learned how to play the zither when she was very young. And if you try playing a zither, it has like 100 strings, okay? Not that many, but it's very intricate. So the children were very much involved in learning because it stimulated them. They were not sitting behind a desk and just learning this and this and this. They were participating. They were active 100% of the time, and they always looked forward to going to their meetings, whether it was in the day or in the evenings or on the weekends. They always wanted to be together because they had so much fun being together as a group and learning together, because they all learned the same thing at the same time for their particular age. I have a few here of the teacher's curriculum for a particular month. So every month the instructors would receive a pamphlet from the ministry to say, this is what we're going to be teaching the girls this month. This is what we're going to be teaching them next month. And it developed them progressively. And that's what I write about in the book, and how the development of, the girls went from 10 years old to 13 to 14 into adulthood.
Now, was this program, were they obligated, were parents obligated to enter their girls into the program? Did they have a choice? Why did most children want to be in the program?
That's a very good question, Deanna. I spent an entire year with a very, very close friend of mine. Her name's Irma.
How is Irma? Yeah.
Oh, she passed away. Passed away. It was very, very sad, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman. She spent a year with me translating hundreds of pages of German documents so that I could write through innocent eyes. And she told me so many stories about her time growing up in Germany. Now, what was interesting was that her father was an SS officer, and it was not mandatory for her to join the BDM. She didn't want to go in. She had a lot of spunk. I always called her Spunky. That was her nickname, because she had so much energy. But she was her own person, and she did not want to join. So it was not, from what she told me, she was not in the BDM or the League of the Young Girls League. Now, when I spoke with a number of women in Austria and in Germany, they loved being in the group, and they wanted to be in the group. Now, from what my uncle told me, he told me that his mother, my grandmother, Josefa, did not want her children to be in the Hitler Youth. She wanted to keep Austria independent, and she wanted nothing to do with Germany. But
amazing.
That's a whole nother story. Well, anyway, what happened, I guess the word got out, because they don't know. She was taken away for 3 days, and when she came back, my uncle told me that she had a black eye, but she would never say anything. And then after that, all the kids went into the Hitler Youth, all my uncles and my aunt and my mom. So it was, I hear stories that on one side it was absolutely mandatory that every children went into the league, and then on the other hand, like with Irma, she said she did not have to go in. So I guess if you had a note from the doctor, you did not per se have to go into the BDM. But they did encourage, and they did want most of the girls in the League of German Girls.
Okay.
So Irma's an exception, I guess.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, government schools here in this country are mandatory, pretty much mandatory. Mm-hmm. I know that there are people who homeschool, but... I think that's, kind of similar.
I understand. Now I don't have any children myself personally, but I do see. I do know people who have children, and the one thing I've noticed in the 30 years of living here in Florida is that the people I know who have a European background, who are from Poland or who are from Germany, their children are raised totally different than from the people I know who are American.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see the difference between the two growing up and for years in watching the children grow up, because some have become very successful. They've started their own businesses. They're doing very well for themselves. And others have just kind of said, I have no interest. Don't want to go to school anymore, and they have problems. And I talk to the parents and I ask them about, what do they, how do they encourage their kids to learn or encourage them or make them feel good about themselves so that they can go out and have a sense of purpose in life? And I think that's what's missing now, because they're just kind of moving forward. There's no direction. You know, there's everybody, there's so much stuff out there. Nobody knows which way to go anymore. Now, I'm just saying generally speaking. And there's so much information out there that how is one supposed to absorb everything? We're being bombarded every which way about everything.
Exactly. Yes.
And so I think it's up to the parents themselves. I mean, this is going to be my thinking. If I had children, I would spend, now I can only relate this to my little two chihuahuas because I spoil them, right? But I spend time with them. I love them. I love all my dogs. I love all my animals. I treat them with respect. With all people, I treat them with respect. When I meet children, instead of talking, I met this little girl last week. She's probably 3 years old. Beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyes, just a cute as a button. And she was hiding behind the door. And I, instead of looking down and talking to her, I went down on my knees and I said, hi. And so she came out and I related to her on her level.
Right.
So it's my thinking. And with children, with doing my book signing events, I talk to a number of people. I've spoken to thousands of people over the last 3-4 years marketing my book. And I speak with children, I speak with the adults, and I tell them what my mom learned when she was in the League of German Girls. And they always say, you know, I wish we had something, a program like that here in the United States.
Oh, wouldn't that be terrific?
You know, I can't tell you how many people mentioned that to me, and I was like, well, it would be wonderful if we could change the educational system into the, you know, another mode of teaching or thinking.
Well, I think that the educational system now is designed to create workers and people who acquiesce to the corporations and do what they're told and not think for themselves. Now, somebody wrote me, one of my dear friends, wrote an email, and she said that she remembers hearing the story about your mother hiking as a child with the other girls, and one of the girls broke a bone, and all the other girls knew how to apply a splint from available items they found in the woods.
Exactly.
Tell us that story again.
Well, they were hiking up the Reisalpe mountain, okay? And, well, it's not in my book per se, but they learned how to do abrasions. That was part of their first aid learning skills. They learned how to make tourniquets. They learned how to make a splint using a stretcher, using their BDM jacket, just using the materials in the woods. And this was so important because there was no medical facilities available. If anything happened, they needed to learn immediately how to take care of themselves right then and there. So if anybody fell and had a scrape, or if they got, you know, bee stings or blisters or broken bones or cramps or dehydration, they were taught the skills learned so that they could take care of themselves. There was no cell phones. They just couldn't call, you know, 911 and say, hey, come over here and take care of us. We had someone get hurt. They learned that the first aid skills, that this way they were independent, they could take care of themselves and take care of each other as a group. They all worked together, and they could take care of themselves. But it went beyond that, because they also, now, besides just the home economics that they learned, think back at the time, there was no washing machines back then. They had to wash their clothes by hand in a great big wash tub, okay? They had to learn how to do their own, the cooking. They were taught how to cook. They were taught how to sew and weave and embroider. They were taught gardening skills, taking care of and raising livestock and arts and crafts, because this built up their dexterity in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that the girls learned, the Reich's Ministry of Education, Science, and Culture wanted the girls and the boys to learn this.
So they could be self-reliant, and independent, and more productive, and just better citizens, but so that they could, take care of themselves, which a lot of people in this country do not know how to take care of themselves.
Right. Well, that's just the basic common skills. See, this is what I don't understand. I met this kid. He's like 32 years old, and he lives at home with his parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? Well, I have a lot of bills. What? Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, dumbfounded. I just don't understand, because by the time I was 28 years old, I owned a house. I had a wonderful job. I had a car. I was independent. I mean, I was married at the time. But the upbringing, I don't know. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying some of the people that I've met is greatly different even from the time that I was being raised. And
right.
My mom always taught me to be independent. She said, never depend upon anybody. Do everything yourself. You can only depend upon your mom. So, you know, so many people say, Cindy, how can you do all these things? You've done so much. I mean, I can rattle on a whole bunch of stuff. And I said, well, because I'm determined to do it, because I want to do it. I have an interest in doing it. If the interest, the desire, the passion, the determination is not there, you're not going to get anywhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm I get so passionate about it, because so many people ask me, you know, how do you market your book? How do you get your book out there? You know, I'm like, well, the first thing I would recommend is learning how to do public speaking. Whoa, boom, that just dropped a bomb right there, because nobody wants to speak in front of an audience. The largest audience I just spoke in front of was in Erie, Pennsylvania for the 65th Infantry. They invited me to speak there because my dad was in the 65th Infantry. And I spoke in front of 100 people at their gala dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wonderful time. Now, if you're an author out there and you've just written a book, or you're writing a book, or you're thinking about writing a book, people come to me and said, well, I think I have to write my book and get it published before I even start marketing it. No, what you want to do is start marketing and promoting your book before it's published. And there's a reverse thinking there. And so I try to spend time with authors and mention to them how important it is to start a following and get your word out there about your book and let people know about your book, because when your book is finally released and in print, then there's people waiting for it. Now, you
sure
can take the same concept and apply that to teaching anybody how to do anything. You could take it and apply it to schools. Now, for instance, the schools, you know, the kids go to school. Now, I'm only speaking from my own, experience of going to school. We had so many activities in school that are not even in existence today. Is that true? I mean, we had video classes. We had film classes.
Oh,
we
yeah
had music.
Yeah.
Gym, sports, tennis, archery, golf, boating, kayaking, canoeing, hiking, camping. I don't think they have that in schools anymore, do they?
No, I don't think so. And they, and the boys had shop, they had woodworking classes, they had all kinds of practical classes. And it seems to me that they've taken over, that some of these practical things have been taken over by other groups, such as the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. And when my daughter was in Girl Scouts, I was a Girl Scout leader. But it's different. The Girl Scout program is not comprehensive enough. The Boy Scout program kind of focuses on merit badges and uniforms and militarization of children. I just kind of think that is not what we need. Certainly the school system, especially with Common Core being implemented recently, it's pretty sad situation. Very, very, very sad.
I've heard horrors about Common Core. Horrors. I don't. It's not working. I just don't see it working because You go back to the time when in the 60s, when the kids were going to school in the 70s or whatever, it was different. It was so different than it is now teaching. They're not thinking. They're not taught creative thinking in school, I don't think,
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
And that is so important because you want to teach. Now, when the girls, when my mom was in the BDM, which stands for the Bund Deutscher Mädel, they were taught critical thinking skills. They were taught art. They were taught to paint. They were taught to be creative with their hands. I really go into detail, especially with the woodworking, because it was teaching them to learn all to use their brain altogether. Okay, because when they're given a project, they have to think about how they're going to make it. They need to plan on how to make a particular item. And then they need to learn to choose the tools that they're going to need. Then they're going to have to write it out in a diagram. There's all these creative learning techniques that you need to apply in anything in order to make something with your hand, so to speak.
Right.
This is what they were taught. Now, I think, I remember I was 9 years old, and my mom said, okay, we're going to change the faucet. I said, what? She said, I need you to get underneath the sink. I'm going to tell you how to do that. And I went, Mom, how do you know how to do that? She said, don't worry. I just know how to do it. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Okay, so 9 years old, I'm up underneath the sink changing the faucet out. And I could never figure out, how did my mom know how to do that?
Exactly.
And there's so many, right now I can't think of anything else, but my mom knew so many things, and I always ask her, how did you know how to do that? How did you know, and she would just say, I just know it, but she never said, this is what I learned. She just knew it, and it was hard for my mom to articulate clearly, but she would always, have these little sayings, like, don't stop because you'll die. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't stop. So I got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go.
Sure.
But I didn't know that what she meant by that, because I finally got the answer from my aunt. And she said, Cindy, when the Russians were coming through, they were shooting at everybody. And your mom and Oma, my grandmother, were running from the Russians. And Oma said, don't stop because you'll die. They got in their car and they fled and they went to the American zone in Linz, Austria.
Right.
But
they didn't just shoot them. They also raped them. At least 50,000 German women, females, from 8 to 80 were raped.
Yeah, because they just hated them so much. I hope... My book is so unique that people have told me that this is the opposite of the Anne Frank diary.
Which was a fraud. It was a fraud. I mean, it was written in a ballpoint pen, supposedly, and a ballpoint pen was not created until like 5 years after the diary was supposed to have been written.
Exactly. I did the research on the pens that they were used, and the pens my mom used in one of the ink dip pens to write in her journal, and so you could see the blotches of the ink.
Right.
And you'll see that when the Cologne Museum, they'll have my mom's entire journal on their website. So you can see the difference in my mother's writing in 1941.
Yes, yes. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Cynthia A. Sandor, S-A-N-D-O-R, and she is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her website is cynthiaasandor.com and bdmhistory.com, and she does have a Facebook page under author Cynthia A. Sandor. And I'm reading about the experiences, page 128, Duties of BDM Girls. And these girls were really excited about this. They really wanted
it.
Yes, and for good reason.
Yeah. And do you know by the time that they were 14 years old that they can move into their chosen vocation from hospitality, retail, office work, that by the time they were 14, they can go to work because they had all the skills.
Wow.
Is that not crazy? They worked on the trains. They were secretaries. They were working in an office. They were working in bakeries. Is that not incredible?
It really is. And to think when you see 14-year-old youth now, they're just, they're on their iPads or iPhones or they're texting.
Personally, technology, it's becoming too easy. See, it was very, very hard for my mom back then. She didn't think it was hard growing up, but God forbid, today, if we go back 75 years in time and we had to wash our clothes by hand in a trough, warm the water on the stove using wood, and going out into the backyard and using a big wooden spoon to stir and to cook your clothes and then wring it out and then hang it on the line. I mean, it takes all day just to wash the clothes back then.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Technology has made things too easy. Personally, there's a complacency. There's a disconnect going on. I've seen these TV shows. People don't even know their own history anymore. It's so sad. They don't know who the vice president is. They have no idea what's going on in the economy. I'm not saying these kids knew everything, okay, growing up, but they knew so much more back then. And that's what my mom tried to teach me, was to be aware of, what is going on in the world and to strive to become, the best person that you can become and do good and unto others and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But she always taught me to be self-reliant.
Which is so important. That is so essential.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm gonna share a little secret with you here, and probably every single guy that's friends with me on Facebook is going to want to marry me, okay?
Okay.
I've worked on my own vehicles.
That's
changed the brakes, oils. Yeah, there's more. I'll tell you later.
Okay, we do have some callers lining up, and we'll take those callers when we come back, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.